From Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. For more information or to order equipping resources, call 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As we get the broadcast kicked off today, I want to say just a couple of words about theistic evolution, because under its banner, a growing number of Christians are maintaining that God used evolution as his method for creation. And that, in my estimation, is the worst of all possibilities. I think it's one thing to blame in evolution. It's quite another to blame God for it. The biblical account of creation specifically tells us that God created living creatures according to their own kinds. And therefore, while the Bible and science allow for microevolution, they do not in any way allow for macroevolution. In other words, amoebas, well, evolving into apes, or apes evolving into astronauts. Furthermore, evolution is the cruelest, it's the most inefficient system for creation imaginable, and therefore I am quite surprised that Christians today are defending the idea that this is the process which God more or less set up in order to have evolution. Theistic evolution, from my perspective, is simply a contradiction in terms. It's like talking about flaming snowflakes. God can no more direct an undirected process than he can create a squared circle. And yet that is precisely what theistic evolution presupposes. Look, evolution is fighting for its very life, so rather than prop it up with theories like theistic evolution, thinking people everywhere should be on the vanguard of demonstrating its demise. I've written about this and much more in the Creation Answer book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Many of the resources I'll talk about during the broadcast, you can find them at equip.org on the World Wide Web. Do remember, you can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by. The number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I want to go to Honolulu, Hawaii first today. Sheila. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to know, I guess I saw two different spirits at my aunt's house when I was sleeping over. And being a Christian, I shouldn't be afraid, but yet I don't know why I'm seeing it.
Well, a couple of things, Sheila.
It wakes me up when I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Sheila, you have to take your subjective experience and test it in light of an objective frame of reference, which is the Word of God. And what we know for certain about the Word of God is that when someone dies, they are either in torment, which is to say they're away from the loving presence of God, or they are being comforted in the presence of God, but they do not and cannot return to this time-space continuum without God's divine prerogative. And God does not do this in a normal or a normative fashion. Therefore, the subjective experience of seeing a dead relative is something that does not correspond to the truth of Scripture. Now, it doesn't mean that you didn't have a real experience and that you really think that this is true. Of course you do. But there are many things that we experience subjectively that objectively are invalidated. And that's why we also have to test the subjective experience again in light of the Word of God, which is the final test for faith and practice.
So what do you mean by tested? Because it's not a relative. I don't know this person. I cannot see the face.
Well, but I'm saying whether it's a relative or anyone else, we know that those who have died do not return to the land of the living. But we also know something to be absolutely true on the basis of Scripture, and that is that Satan will play upon the field of our imagination and our superstition. And that's why when you test things in light of Scripture, you know it can't be a ghost or a departed person, but you can know that while you cannot see Satan, that he will try to influence your thoughts. And that's why you have to put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against principalities and powers of darkness.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You got it, Sheila. And I've written about this in a book called The Covering, because so often movies like The Conjuring or The Exorcist before it or Rosemary's Baby, they give us a false view of the paranormal. And as a result, so often Christians begin buying into it. I was astounded to read the reviews on this particular movie, The Conjuring, by Christians who somehow or other think that this movie is consistent with a biblical worldview. It certainly is not consistent with a biblical worldview and demonology. It's rather based on selling sensationalism and a huge dose of sophistry. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Bill. He's listening in Meadow Vista, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. I just got back from vacation, and I finished up the last of your trilogy on the last disciple, as well as The Fuse of Armageddon. And I'm a nationally published Christian writer as well as a physician, and the writing in your books is phenomenal. The book, The Fuse of Armageddon, I think could be one of the most important books of of this century, with the implications of it. But be that as it may, just wanted to plug your books.
Well, let me say thank you before you go on. Thank you very much.
Okay. What I was calling about is that I had been looking at Francis Collins' BioLogos website, and in some ways that appealed to me in that I don't believe that there are such things as blind natural forces, because even randomness has an elegance to it and a complexity to it, as do mathematics and all physical laws, that they scream intelligent design. And so the traditional view of theistic evolution is that there God uses these blind natural forces, but to me it sounds like there's something that happened when different species were created, something at that instant. And God either does primary causation, where he kind of poofs something into existence, or he uses its natural laws. And I think, consistent with St. Augustine and the two books of Scripture and Nature that God uses to show us the universe, it seems to me that in some ways intelligent design stifles sorting out and exploring into God's mysteries of what seems so improbable.
Well, I mean, I think intelligent design is just designed, if you will, to follow truth wherever it leads. But look, in the view of the BioLogos Foundation, science dictates that modern human beings emerged from primates 100,000 years ago in a population numbering some 10,000, not two. And while Collins and company staunchly defend Darwinian evolution, their views don't correspond to reality, and that's my big problem with what he's teaching and saying. For example, Darwin hung his hopes on hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossils of the Cambrian explosion. But in actuality, the poverty of the fossil record has been an embarrassment. Virtually all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian. And therefore, as I've said many times on this broadcast, I think the Cambrian radiation vaporized the Darwinian tree of life. But not only so, Scripture plainly opposes the collective rhetoric of theistic evolutionists who are denying the reality of a historical Adam and Eve. The Bible makes it very clear. From one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. So sacred Scripture, in concert with sound science, makes plain that kinds reproduce according to their own kinds. And therefore, the evolutionary paradigm that is being perpetuated by Collins simply doesn't correspond to reality. And if the first Adam and Eve had not fallen into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death, there'd be no need for God to send a second Adam.
Well, do you think that God did a special primary causation, miraculous de novo ex nihilo production of all the various species out of nothing at that instant?
Well, the Bible states that kinds reproduce after their own kinds, that one kind does not evolve into another kind. So we allow for microevolution in the biblical worldview, but not for macroevolution. But the point that I'm trying to make here is that what the Bible states is corroborated by science. So what Collins is hanging on to is mythology. The Cambrian explosion underscores, from hard evidence in general revelation, that all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian. And therefore, this whole notion of gradations and mutations, as posited by the Darwinian viewpoint, which is espoused by Collins and company, they don't correspond to either biblical reality or scientific reality.
Well, yeah, they have a, you know, a what they call a more flexible, less wooden interpretation of the Book of Genesis, that it was not written as a science literature, but that that it did speak to what happened in general and specifically how that happened scientifically.
Right, but I'm not disagreeing with that. Not disagreeing with that point of view. I mean, I think that what Genesis is doing is never contra science, but it's not meant to be a scientific handbook. It is rather meant for us to understand the chirological impact of God's creative prowess. In other words, God's purposes in creation. So it's not meant to give us a chronology of creation, but it is meant to give us God's purposes in creation. But what I'm pointing out is that general revelation militates against the view of Collins. In other words, the fossil evidence simply says no to the viewpoint that he's espousing. And I think that this is the way I'm arguing. Now, I'm also arguing that the whole notion of God's special creation of Adam and Eve is explicit in the Scriptures. And unless you hold to this, the Scriptures become contradictory, because our Savior himself said at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. And unless one be tempted to allegorize the words of the Lord, it's instructive to note that Jesus further affirmed a historical Adam and Eve when he referred to the murder of their son Abel. But not only that, Luke, writing to a primarily Gentile audience, extends the genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam, and therefore highlights Christ the second Adam as the Savior of all humanity. And even if that's insufficient in someone's mind, Chronicles provides a historical record from Adam to the exile. Likewise, starting at Genesis 5:1, Moses gives the written account of Adam's line. So I think that Genesis is a historical narrative interlaced with Jewish poetry, but it's hardly an allegory.
Yes, I I agree. It's a huge discussion. I'd love to sit down with you at length. I'm writing a book, the Christianity, it's not what you, quote, think, unquote, the faith journey of a recovering intellectual.
Oh, wow.
And I'm dealing with several issues of theology, science, and social issues. And boy, there are a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about. But I'll let other callers get their chance, and I sure appreciate your input.
Well, and may the Lord add his blessing to what you're writing. Sounds intriguing. I can't wait to see the finished product.
Well, I'll try to get in touch with your office and see if I can send you a preview.
I would love to see it, Bill, and thank you for those wonderful, kind, encouraging words in the prologue to your question. Coming to the station break, we'll be right back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That, of course, translates to 888-275-4265. Be right back with more answers.
Have you ever wanted to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast on your phone or handheld device? With the Equip app available free from the Christian Research Institute, you can. The Equip app is now available for Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live, listen to archived programs, 3-minute Ask Hank features, and read articles to help you learn and defend the faith. Go to equip.org and download this free app for your Android device today. Again, that's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back in a moment. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute, as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. Throughout the month of December, we've been sharing with you how important it is for us to close the final funding gap so we can continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day in the new year and counter the lies emanating from our culture. This is the last week you can give your gift to close our year-end funding gap. So please call now, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to our phone callers. Next is Deanna, listening in San Diego, California, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Deanna.
Hi.
Hi. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is, what happens to people when they die? What they go to heaven, and what does that mean? Can they still know what is happening down on earth? Can they see us, hear us, praying for them?
There's no evidence in Scripture that those who die know what is presently happening on earth. To be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And what that means is that we have an intimate personal relationship with God in eternity that will only be enhanced after Jesus Christ appears a second time, because then our souls will return to bodies that are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But the short answer to your question is that people who are now in the presence of God do not presently know. There's no biblical evidence that they know presently what's happening on earth. In fact, I address that question directly in my book, Afterlife. It's also, I think, very significant to recognize that when you are in the presence of God, you are experiencing the same thing that Jesus depicted in Luke chapter 16. Remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus, a beggar lying by the rich man's gate, dies, and he is comforted in what the Bible calls Abraham's bosom, which is a way of talking about being in the presence of God. It's a metaphor. And the rich man, who had all the comforts in this life, is now in torment. Now, in both cases, they are experiencing an earnest of what the eternal heavens will be, because again, in the eternal heavens, we will be resurrected, so we will be physical again. The soul returns to the body. So the Christian faith is not platonic, it's very physical. We believe in the physical resurrection. Just as Christ rose from the dead, we too will rise. And then we will inherit a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. In other words, paradise lost will become paradise restored.
Okay.
That help?
Yes. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you as well. And we'll go back to the phone lines now and talk to James in Houston, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hi. Yes, I've been reading a book on the spiritual life and the Holy Spirit, and seems to hinge on the verse, Galatians 2, verse 20, I no longer live, but the life of Christ that lives in me. And also, in Corinthians, Paul talks about I die daily. And if you can just give me your view about how we can better do that, allow ourselves to die more and allow Christ to live through us and the whole process, and how we can have more of a life in the Spirit, in your view.
Yeah, what's great is Paul talks about this. If you go to the last chapter of Galatians, where he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world," which is to say that what happens with the cross of Christ is that the world becomes more and more foreign to us, and the life of Christ more real. I had this experience not all that long ago when I was in China. I met a man who had really sacrificed everything because he stood for Christ in a persecuted state. He was persecuted, and as a result of that, he was imprisoned. And it was a horrible experience because he lost all of his stature, and he was reduced to nothingness in a cold, hard prison life. And I asked him, how did you endure that prison life? And his answer was, I died. I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It was Christ who lives in me. So in reality, he was saying that he had experienced in a very real, visceral sense what it means to be living the crucified life, what it means to have died to this world and now been resurrected in Christ. And that is really what happens when we're baptized. In baptism, it's a way of expressing that we are now taking up our cross and daily following Christ, which is to say we're buried to our old life, we're raised to newness of life through his resurrection power.
Okay. All right, well, it's this book's very enlightening, and I appreciate your insight, Hank, and I listen to you a lot, and I thank you very much.
You got it, James. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Martha next, Merced, California. Hi, Martha.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, it is to you, too. You're so super. You're just what we need, I'll tell you. You have really, really straightened a lot of things out for me. I'm 72 and never even realized I thought I knew so much. Boy, was I surprised. Anyway, my quick question is, in Genesis, it talks about giants in the land. Where did these giants, what's that all about?
Well, you know, it says here in Genesis chapter 6 that the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, the days of the flood, or the time just prior to the flood, but also afterwards, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were heroes of old, men of renown, the Bible says. What's going on, though, in Genesis 6 in general, is that the earth becomes increasingly wicked. And as a result of that, you have judgment that comes on humankind. And all but eight are saved in the midst of the waters of the flood because Noah builds an ark at the command of God. He trusts God. And so in a sense, what you have is a great restart to all of civilization as a result of the flood.
Oh, okay. So Adam and Eve, they were here before Adam and Eve.
Well, Adam and Eve were the first man and the first woman that God created. And then you have the posterity of Adam and Eve that become increasingly wicked. And as a result of that, God judges the earth and starts over with Noah and his family. So the sons of God in this passage simply refers to the godly descendants of Seth, and the daughters of men to the ungodly descendants of Cain. Their cohabitation causes humanity to fall into such utter depravity that God says in the text, I will wipe humankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And then it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, that's what I wanted to know, and of course you gave me just the right answer. Thank you so much. I support you in money and with prayer. And I love you, and I'm so proud of you, being a daddy to all the children.
Anyway. Well, Martha, you have made my day, and I'm looking forward to knowing you in eternity.
Yes, same here. Oh, I can't wait. God bless you and your family and your wonderful wife for putting up with you.
Thank you. I will tell her that. Words of wisdom from Martha, the 72-year-old lady that listens to my show. God bless you, Martha.
Okay, thank you.
You did make my day. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye. By the way, out of this passage, there are some horrible interpretations, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention them. The notion that demons, for example, can produce real bodies and have real sex with real women oftentimes is validated on the basis of this passage. Of course, this is an argument that in turn would invalidate Jesus' argument for the authenticity of his resurrection. Jesus assured his disciples, the spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. So if indeed a demon could produce flesh and bones, Jesus' argument would not only be flawed but also misleading. In fact, it might logically be argued, therefore, that the disciples did not see the post-resurrection appearances of Christ, but rather a demon masqueraded as the resurrected Christ. In other words, ideas have consequences, and the idea that is impregnated in this passage is the notion that demons and women had sex, because the sons of God are sometimes interpreted as demons, daughters of men, humans, and they have sexual relations. This is an imposition of paganism on Scripture. This has nothing to do with a biblical worldview. Demons are non-sexual, non-physical, and as such are incapable of having sexual relations and producing physical offspring. And to say that demons can create bodies, that is saying that they have creative power, which is an exclusively divine prerogative. And of course, if demons could have had sex with women in ancient times, we'd have no assurance that they couldn't do so in modern times. It's a horrible notion. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. There are some very bad interpretations of Scripture, oftentimes inculcated in passages like this or imposed on passages like this. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Paul, South Point, Pennsylvania, listening about radio. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Hey, I heard you earlier say that we need to surrender our will to God, or to Christ, and I have issues with it because I don't know fully what that means, and I still catch myself, after I become saved, doing stupid things and knowing I shouldn't, but still doing them anyway, which irritates me with myself at times. And I know I'm never going to be perfect enough to be perfect. But I know before you said we work from our salvation. So I'm having an issue with that. And then I heard you talk about baptism. Do we have to be completely submerged, or can they just do the sprinkling on the head?
Well, there are different modes of baptism, and that is a secondary issue. But I think the biblical motif is that we are buried to our old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power. And that is best exemplified when we are under the water and come back out of the water, new creations in Christ. So I think that picture is the best picture. But again, these are things that are secondary, and people debate them vigorously without dividing over them. As far as surrendering my will to God, that is an ongoing struggle. And as you have candidly said, it's a struggle for you. Let me say, it is a struggle for me as well. But I do know that daily I'm being conformed to the image of God. But that is not something that I am doing. It is something that Christ, through his Spirit, is working within me, which is to say that he has justified me just as though I'd never sinned, but he's also sanctifying me, and that is, he is conforming me to his image. So what I have to do is partake of the means of grace, not only the sacraments and initially baptism, but also the spiritual disciplines that are delineated in the Word of God. If we want to become Christ-like, we have to surrender ourselves to the very disciplines that he modeled during his earthly sojourn. I've written about that in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. Be right back with more answers.
With the year winding down, the Christian Research Institute faces a major funding gap that must be closed by December 31st that directly impacts this broadcast. And it's only through your generous support that it can be fully closed. So please help us continue being there for the hundreds of thousands like you who benefit from the Christian Research Institute each month. This is the last week to give your gift to help close our final year-end funding gap. So call now, 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI.
That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff.
With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. As we wind up this year, a funding gap remains that must be closed by year end if we're to continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day. CRI has no major funding source and relies on the generous support of Christians like you committed to standing for the truth. And that's why your help right now is vital. So please help close our year-end funding gap today as it's the last week to give your gift. Visit equip.org. Equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's hear more from your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I've been making a particular appeal for the last couple of weeks, and it is making a difference. I'm asking those who are existing members of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team to see if they can make an extra gift this month to help us close a funding gap. And again, it is making a difference, but we still have some of the gap to fill. And if you are an existing member and have not as yet responded, it would be deeply appreciated. Again, what you do is between you and the Lord. Give as you have been given and give with a cheerful heart, not out of a sense of obligation, but it will touch the lives of people for time and for eternity. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having worldwide, please consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today, and for your monthly gift of $25 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Thank you again for your attention to this special appeal. It will make a difference for time and for eternity. We'll go back to the phone lines and talk next to Robert in St. Louis, Missouri. Robert is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How are you today, Hank?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. I was calling in reference to a guest speaker that we had at our church over the weekend, and he gave a great talk, and so we looked up the ministry that he had come from, which is the International House of Prayer Ministry in Kansas City, and actually had read some things that were concerning to us, that is my wife and I, and I was calling to see if you have an opinion or any thoughts or any knowledge about the IHOP ministry, and if it was something we were concerned about, you know, how does one approach, you know, a pastor to, you know, to communicate those concerns?
I think one of the things you can do is get a copy of an article we did in the Christian Research Journal on Mike Bickle and IHOP. And the article is not particularly flattering. I mean, this is an organization that's involved in date setting. They believe the end of the world will unfold in this generation. And one thing we have learned about date setters is that they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. And they constantly give Christianity a black eye and drag the name of Jesus through the mud. Secondly, I would say he's into all kinds of sensationalism with respect to Antichrist soon coming to establish a one-world government as well. They believe in what they call the end-time forerunner church, that it'll be an advanced apostolic movement, and that this movement will experience greater things than even the apostles themselves. In other words, the apostles and prophets of this generation are going to be greater than the apostles and prophets of the biblical generations. And I think this is not only preposterous, but it is it's blasphemous, because the Bible was built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And to suggest that there are going to be greater ones in our midst. And some of the more outlandish of these people are saying that, well, the apostles and prophets of the old generations will be standing in line to get the autographs of the forerunner apostle movement, and that army is going to be greater than the former army. And, I mean, it's just absurd kind of language. And, you know, of course, they think that Moses' miracles and the miracles that you find in the book of Acts, you combine them, you multiply them on a global level, and you're going to have a far greater thing happen with the modern-day prophets and apostles, and they're going to unleash all kinds of judgments on the earth and this and that. It's completely unbiblical. It's sensationalism. It's sophistry. It's a horrible twisting of Scripture, what I call script torture, and certainly isn't suitable to be forwarded by any church or pastor or platform.
Okay. And what month was that journal, the writing of your journal, just so I can take a peek at that?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or if you hang on, we can get a copy out to you.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. And thank you for that. That actually confirms what little research we had done as well, so thank you for that.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert in Cleveland, Mississippi, listening on WCRV. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I just want to tell you it's a pleasure and an honor, and you're my hero.
Bless you. Thank you.
I want you to know that. And you have pulled me out of the fire so many times that I can't even count on my hands, feet, toes, and all. With all the false teachers and stuff.
Yes.
And you've always stood for truth no matter what, and I love you for that. And I know God has got his hand on you. But I recently become a member of your support team.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
And I want to thank you for the letter you sent me. It touched me. I don't know why, every time I read certain parts of the Bible, I try to think about it, I try to read your letter, why I cry so much. I can't handle to talk about it without crying and think about God and what he's done for me. The Holy Spirit has got me so bad, I can't hold it, it's overflowing, I can't contain it, but I'm trying to keep it together for a minute because I want to tell you how much I appreciate you and the work you do. And I know I've been listening to you for 20 years, and I'm ashamed that I've never donated or helped you until recently. And I want other people to know what it feels like to be a part of something, a family. And go ahead and do it. Quit dragging your feet. But I have a question about dreams and visions. And where in Acts, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. I know this is, I've listened to you long enough, I know that this is not, may not be directed towards us in the 2000s. This is more for the people back then, but I know I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I've had dreams and visions and stuff, and I know you taught me a lot of discernment. And I just wanted your take on the dreams and the visions and stuff like that.
Well, sure, Robert. And first of all, I can't let your words go unnoticed. I'm deeply moved by them and by the passion with which you communicated them. It just means the world to me, and it invigorates me to be ever more faithful in the cause that God has called us to. I mean, truth matters and life matters, and as Paul told Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearer. So again, your words did not go unnoticed. I'm deeply touched, and I think if we talk too long, both of us would probably be kind of emotional. But let me say, with respect to the question, the words that are communicated in the book of Acts are words actually that come directly from Joel. Joel prophesied about the very time that Peter is experiencing. So those dreams and visions are now coming true fruition in that epoch of time. And they're doing a lot because the church now is in embryonic form. And that church is being guided directly by the hand of God, very much like the Old Testament prophets and priests were guided by the hand of God. So God did supernatural things not only to them, but through them. Now, we cannot, and you hinted at this in asking the question, we cannot put God in a box such that God cannot speak to us today through dreams and visions. But what we have to say with the writer of Hebrews is that God has already spoken. He has already revealed, and therefore, whatever we experience today has to be tested in light of some objective frame of reference. So feelings and experiences are not wrong in and of themselves, nor can we say that God doesn't use them or God can't speak through them. I believe God can speak through them, but that's not normative. It's not the norm. It's not the natural. It's not something that happens all the time. It's the unusual occasion in which something like that occurs. And I think, again, we have to be very, very careful because today, Robert, particularly in a biblically illiterate culture, when people have dreams or visions and that becomes their guidance point, they can be led into all kinds of false doctrine and practice. Faith and practice should come from the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is the Word of God. So the real operative phrase in answering your question is test all things, hold fast to that which is good. How do you test all things? Well, you have to know the Word of God. You have to know at least the principles of rightly interpreting Scripture, because if you don't, you can be led away by all kinds of false doctrines and teachings.
Well,
Yes, sir. I have been, and you pulled me back because I believe in you, Hank. I know God's got his hands on you, and you stood the test of time. I've listened to you over 20 years, and when everybody else was making all these false prophecies and you was about Y2K, everybody just calmed down. Everything's going to be okay. And Zach Van Impe is making his little prophecies. He had me scared to take my clothes off at night. Pray Jesus was going to come back and I'd be caught naked.
Hmm.
So, you know, and then, like I said, I've listened to you. I know, you know, you stand for truth. I believe what you say. I know that God's got his hand on you because I've changed since I've started praying more and gotten closer to God. I've changed. And I've been witnessing to people, and I never thought that God could use me.
Well, he can, and he is, Robert.
He can use me.
He sure can. He can use all of us.
I was always scared to go up to people and tell them how much I love Jesus.
Robert, it might amaze you, but I've had the same feeling from time to time. How could God use me? And I think that's really where we need to be. We need to realize that God uses us not because of who we are, but because of his sovereign province. He gives us the ability. He puts us in the right places. And now it's our responsibility with whatever number of talents we have been given, whether 10 or 5 or 1, to be faithful and fruitful. And to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. Robert, thank you so much for joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team and for your wonderful words that get me through the next month. God bless you. Appreciate your call. And with that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I leave you with our contact information on the web. It's equip.org via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by the number 888-7000 and letter CRI. Thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-Minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ.
With the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices.